You're listening to the Free to Be Mindful podcast, which invites you along on a journey to learn of mindful living, grow in mental health, and inspire through personal growth. In a world where we can often feel much stress and overwhelm, this podcast provides bite-sized tips and real talk conversations, empowering you to embrace mindfulness and nurture your full potential. I'm your host, Vanessa De Jesus Guzman, educator, licensed professional counselor, entrepreneur, and mom. I'm passionate about helping others live life with peace of mind and ease of heart without losing their, well, you know. Here we go. Hello and welcome to episode 194 of the Free to Be Mindful podcast. I hope that you're feeling good, looking good, and doing better in this world than you were yesterday. So when I really stop and pause, it's wild to think that in 20 years, I've had three different careers. I'm now a podcast host, professional speaker, licensed therapist, and entrepreneur, and I do put those all in one bucket. And prior to this, I was a middle school counselor for 14 years, where every day was an adventure in middle school. And prior to that, I was a tenured second grade teacher of 4 years. And all of these school experiences were in New Jersey public schools. I mention this because Teacher Appreciation Week in the United States is this year, May 6th to May 10th, and it's quickly approaching us. And as it does come up, I want to take a moment to recognize all of the amazing efforts that teachers put in and day out in how they show up for their students. They're always committed to inspire their students to learn more, to pursue their passions, to help them develop the skills that they need to grow in various ways, ranging from cognitive, practical, and emotional, and even social. Being that that's where I started my career, and I specialize still in working with kids and with moms, my heart will always hold a special place for educators. And unless it was a lived experience, you really may not understand all of the demands that educators have on them each and every day. Some, and this is just a little bit, include curriculum development, professional development, administrative tasks, technology integration, individualized education plans, 504s, response to intervention, compliance with policies and procedures, regular communication with parents and families, parent-teacher conferences, support for homework and assignments, involvement in school activities, addressing concerns and feedback, collaboration for student success, making sure that kids are completing their assignments and their homeworks, and really measuring academic growth and achievement. And all of this is done while taking their work home. Their work does not end typically at 3 p.m. or at the end of the school day, whatever that is, and often using their own money for classroom materials and not being compensated enough financially for what's being asked of them, all while having 20 to 30 students of different personality, developmental needs, and different learning styles to cater to. It's truly a tall order, and every single year it gets higher and higher. My hope is that teachers continue to inspire generations of students, that they recognize the power of the future of education while doing so as well. Because what worked in the 1950s isn't going to be the same things that work in 2024. And this includes innovative ways to improve their teaching methods, develop creative solutions, and evolve with modern times. And if you were asked, what is a futuristic tool that is currently being used as a modern day resource for leaders, CEOs, writers, engineers, and several other career paths exploring modern technology? Do you know what your answer would be? Well, I'll tell you, I think that one of the top answers, if not the top answer, would be artificial intelligence, AI. When we hear of AI nowadays, and this is being recorded in the spring of 2024, so it's going to be interesting for those who hear this episode, let's say 5-10 years down the line, if things change. But for those who hear of AI right now, the thing that typically comes up when people hear AI is ChatGPT. And yes, ChatGPT and artificial intelligence can be used to support research and answer important questions. Companies are incorporating ChatGPT as a tool for developing content, providing assistance, taking care of tasks, handling business, and a lot more than that. But there are other forms of AI out there, When being completely transparent, I did use ChatGPT to obtain this specific piece of information. So other forms of artificial intelligence that we may use almost every day in our lives right now include machine learning APIs like Google Cloud AI, Amazon Web Services, and Microsoft Azure. There's also chatbots and virtual assistants. So think of when you go into any website and they have a chatbot there, that's powered by AI. There's voice-enabled AI assistants like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, and even Siri. There's other AI-driven applications, meaning when you open your Netflix recommendations, Spotify music recommendations, LinkedIn job recommendations, that's all powered by AI based upon the algorithm they use of what you typically look at and search for. There's educational tools like Khan Academy, Duolingo, Coursera. There's healthcare AI, financial AI, which help with different types of algorithms. And now there's even autonomous vehicles. So even when you think about Teslas and how they can literally drive themselves and make certain decisions and even beep when you're like going off of the lines, a lot of different cars have different types of AI within them. And those are just a few examples of how the field of artificial intelligence is growing. Last week, I mentioned how my son referred to me from being from way back the 1900s. So for all of you who are listening, who are also from the way back 1900s, can you imagine what school would have looked like if we had ChatGPT at our disposal? And that is a huge topic in the news right now, and it'll probably be that way for quite some time because of how prevalent it is. When it comes to adults, in 2022, the Pew Research Center surveyed about 11,000 adults, and they found that 27% of Americans say that they interacted with AI at least several times a day, while another 28% thought that they interacted with it at least once a day or several times a week. And that was in 2022. 2 years later, I know that it's much more prevalent now. And just earlier this month, it was a topic on Good Morning America, where they interviewed high school students asking them if using ChatGPT as a resource was considered cheating or not. So we can see that in terms of education, learning now looks super different than it did when we were kids. There's technical advances in all different areas. Obviously, we went from actual classrooms to virtual classrooms and remote learning and back. And the advanced use of videos and other features in classrooms lends itself again to really speak to outside forms of traditional learning styles. But how much of this influence is good, and how much for it should we be careful or concerned about? Let's start looking at the benefits of AI, which obviously we can think of a ton. The digitalization can help with convenience, efficiency, accessibilities. Really, it makes things easier by creating a streamlined process and an outlet that values our time and can cut the time that it usually takes us to do certain things. So as a result, it really gives back our time to focus on our efforts and other initiatives, which is why personally, I don't think that AI will replace other jobs because we still need a human brain to see how this information fits in on whatever that end goal is. AI also helps with everyday support, like customer support, tech issues, or things that require around-the-clock responses. AI also helps with the support that's sometimes needed around the clock when people are searching for customer support or tech issues. It's robots that are really answering those questions before anyone can even get to a human. You also do get a lot of personalization. You get to have analytics that really shape your content and data for you. For example, if you're looking for a certain product or a type of resource, you can play around with the tools to see what works for you. And even Amazon say, well, how about this and how about that, just to show you different offerings. So AI does have the ability to transform a wide range of platforms and help people learn better and have more things at their disposal. But of course, for every benefit, there's also costs that we have to keep in mind. There's a reliance on AI, maybe a little bit too much, because sometimes it can take away from our own skills that we build on that can lead to a lack of knowledge, interest, or even imposter syndrome. We then can become dependable on getting the answers instead of investing our own time to truly learn them. There's also some privacy concerns. It's important to remember that AI operates with collecting data, and privacy issues are a rising concern for those looking into AI, whether it be an issue of safety, access, or even incorrect information. It can also bring a lack of creativity. Imagine authors, filmmakers, or any person that uses their own creativity for inspiration and things that come from their own minds, if they're being inspired by other places, is it really going to jade the way that creativity comes from in the future? And my biggest concern is the lack of connection. One of the strongest assets that we have is actually being human. And that includes being empathetic, making mistakes, spreading love, tuning into our emotions, discovering new opportunities, and building relationships. No matter how advanced technology is, it's really not a replacement for humans. And it's important to remember that our quirks and our experiences are the things that really make us us. So it's important to recognize that yes, AI definitely has its benefits, but it shouldn't be the only solution for the things moving forward. So it begs the question, how can we use these tools for learning without being overly reliant? Well, that's where mindfulness comes in, and it starts always with that self-awareness. Our self-awareness helps to provide ourselves guidance and others guidance so that we can really use that and our intuition to make the decisions that are best for us. We can also use these tools to enhance what we're doing, but not to actually do the thing for us. So for example, if we need some help with research or helping us craft a writing sample, ChatGPT might help with a starting point or help brush up where we last left off, but we shouldn't use the entire thing and just copy and paste it. That would be plagiarizing. Also, with this method, we want to make sure that we're left to use our own skills and the thinking that we ourselves need and aren't just using the tool by itself, but just using it to help us. Continuing on that topic, it's also good to remember ethics and credibility, making sure that we're honest with ourselves and making sure that our work is really a true indicator on what our output is. Also, embrace the human, right? Whether this means having a person oversee things, learning from your own mistakes, taking accountability, it's great to see how far we've come. And it's really great to see how all parts of us, our emotions, our relationships, our capabilities, again, make us who we are. So my friends, before we end, I wanted to take a moment to again remind you that this is episode 194, and episode 199 and 200 are special ones because episode 199 is celebrating Free to Be Mindful's birthday, and then we are going into celebrating episode 200, which is a really big deal in the podcast world because most podcasts fall off within 20 episodes or within just a couple of months of launching. So I ask you, if you have it in the kindness of your heart, to just share this podcast with someone who you think it may benefit, or if you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform, and I'll be sure to read those when we do record episode 199 and 200. Thank you, thank you, thank you always for your support and for continuing to share the world and remind others that you can always be mindful. I now invite you to join me on the short guided meditation. So right now, regardless of where you are or what you're doing, focus your attention on your breath, feeling the rhythm of your inhale and exhale. And as you do that, bring to mind the people who bring you the most joy in life, who bring you support and companionship. Picture them in your mind's eye, each with their unique presence. Reflect on the ways in which these people and these connections enrich your life. Consider the moments of laughter, of understanding, and of shared experiences that make you feel seen, heard, and valued. Think about, really spend time on considering the benefits of the connections that we have with others, that we take the time to build with others, and how those connections foster empathy, compassion, and a sense of belonging. Through our interactions with one another, we learn to grow as people, hopefully to inspire others and find meanings in our lives and in theirs. Allow yourself to take time on a regular basis to appreciate the diversity of perspectives and experiences that others bring into your life, knowing that each connection offers an opportunity for learning and for personal growth. And as you continue to take a few last deep breaths, know that you always have a choice to commit to these connections, to nurture and to cherish these connections. And the more that we pour into them, the more that they enrich our lives. And as always, remember, friends, in a world where you are free to be anything that you want to be, you are always free to be mindful. Catch you next week.